The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
If you've tried everything, there's something Pastor Dave said you shouldn't miss. If you try everything and it did not work, just ask question. Yes, well, sometimes we might be trying things the wrong way. Do you understand? Sometimes it might just be one thing that is missing. I just need to add everything we connect. For instance, there are people that are trying, I'll go spiritual now. There are people that have tried everything that is not working. And what they need is for hands to be laid on them. It will work. I can tell you many things like that. Like, people that try many things, but like, some people don't even have knowledge about how these things work. So you've learned that, you know, you want to start selling clothes, you made money, you made 100,000, you buy clothes, you want to start selling. Do you even know how the clothes market works? I get what I'm saying. So the person buys the clothes, no study, no research, begins to push to the market. After 1 year, he said, sir, I've tried everything. What you should rather say is that you've tried everything you know. That's how to say it. So if you've tried everything you know and it's not working, then find out no more and now try the things that you don't know. I get the point. Because once you try things as they should be tried, they will work. Let me tell you something. I thought about money deeply. I realized that nobody should actually be poor. Poverty is because of the wickedness of man. Let me tell you how I thought about it. I calculated, I tried to run an estimate of natural resources that we have in the world. Gold, you know, those kind of things, diamond, all that. And I thought about it, that if they share natural resources to everybody on this earth, it will reach everybody. So he's telling you that God did not plan this life for some people to lack. You know, there is wickedness, so some have taken a bulk of that thing to themselves, so others don't have. So if you look at how God created this world, he never planned for anybody to be in lack. There is enough gold to reach everybody. Enough. If God not reach you, silver will reach you. Diamond will reach you. Oil will reach you. Do you understand the point? But wickedness, and when I mean wickedness, I mean the system we put in place. That's why this system we call money. We brought it in and we're trying to. So how it affected me. So if God planned that everybody's going to be rich and somehow siphoning the fund, it will not be me that will be poor. Do you understand? Yeah, it will not be me. Now this is in the natural. If in the natural God made plans for everybody to at least have, think of the plan that's also made in the spiritual. You are not meant to be broke. So contend for it. Compromise will not do it. Because even when you get into that Yahoo whatever, if you now progress to a point, they will tell you at this point, you need to make sacrifices. You know what I'm trying to tell you? At this point, natural has ended. If you're going to move forward from further from this, you have to involve something stronger. That's how it works here. You know, Satan has no ideas. He's copying God and counterfeiting what God is doing. Do you get the point? So we tell a believer, pray. They say, in a prayer we go to prayer, they give money. After arguing, he goes and begins to do Yahoo. And he does Yahoo to a point and now begins to engage native doctors. Sure, he said prayer doesn't give money a few minutes ago. How come he's now visiting native doctors? Everyone I'm talking about. Trust God. Work hard. Be informed. Things will work. And I like that I'm seeing some of you that are quite very young here. You are blessed that you're hearing these things from me very early. Don't just take the correction. Act. Do something. Learn a skill. I've said it many times. I have a son now. Okay? And other children, once they begin to grow, and we're introducing this in the Exalted Kids. Okay, once we are done with our building and its proper structure, once children get to a certain point, our teenagers and all that, we start teaching them certain skills. It's actually very easy to be rich in this generation. Just basic skills. How to do this. Those basic things they just have to learn. And then you're not too young to learn these things. Ask one or two people. Sometimes we don't push ourselves. We think Yahweh is just the way because we don't push ourselves. I gave a lot of examples. Just like what Pastor Dave said, there is no field that there are no rich people there. Teaching has millionaires. Do you understand? Agriculture has millionaires. Bricklaying has millionaires. Keke has billionaires. It's true now. This enviable guy now that everybody's investing. He's a keke driver. It's not keke that is driving. Last year, this Cubana guy entered partnership with them. These guys are billionaires. Keke. There is no field. The problem is, how much drive do you? What are you doing with your own field? So somebody gets a job. I always give this example. Some of you don't push yourselves. Somebody in Nigeria, we want more pay. And it's something that, let's see, we are not ready for a working nation. We want more pay in Nigeria. Because I've worked there for long, I should be promoted and paid more. Not because I have added to myself. So someone is employed as a teacher. He works as a teacher for 10 years. No extra certification. No extra. But he wants his salary to be increased. I should be promoted. Why should be promoted? He said, I've been here for 10 years, so you should be promoted because you've spent time. That one also counts because it's experience. Right? But then what else are you doing? So I've been working as a nurse for 5 years. They've been paying me 70,000. So apart from that BSc, you used to get that job. What else? I get what I'm saying. Don't be the one. See, in this life, that is first, that is last. Don't be the last. Don't be the one under. Don't be the one at the end of the ladder. Push yourself and God will help us. Amen. Let's sit. I thought us we're going to continue talking about leadership, learning to lead, right? Did yesterday bless you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So let's see what we can talk about today. I said, I promised you that I was going to talk to you about being followable. Becoming someone that some people can follow. And why I stopped yesterday was I was talking to you about how to learn leadership. I mentioned the fact that you must learn how to make decisions. I think that's how we ended. Learn how to make basic decisions. Because at the end of the day, leadership is about making decisions. How about your leader in this church? I make decisions. I said that this meeting we hold. I said that there will be a session to handle this. That's what leadership is, making decisions. And sometimes, making the difficult decisions. So a person who doesn't know how to make basic decisions in his life is going to make a bad leader. Even when he has a family, he will lead his family astray. So how do you make decisions? Let me just round up what I opened up yesterday. How do you make decisions? I've said a few things yesterday. Don't make decisions based on emotions. You remember that? Emotions, sentiments, pressure. You can't base decisions on those ones. Pressure, emotion, sentiment. Don't let it affect your decision making. Right? And I said, learn to think things through. Whenever you are at a point where you want to make a certain decision, let nobody hurry you up. Try not to be hurried up. Take your time. Of course, don't take your time relaxing. Because when I say take your time, I'm not saying be slow in life. Take your time to pray if you need to. But don't be rushed. You have 2-3 contracts on your table. You have to take one. Take your time. Don't rush. Right? Don't be slow. But don't also be rushed. I've actually seen that people that make rash decisions always make the wrong ones. Do you understand the point? Do you know one advantage? I'm going back to marriage now. Do you know one advantage of asking you to pray for 3 months in this church? It's not just the prayer. It is that we have given you 3 months to think about this marriage thing, you want to marry this girl, again and again. And we give you the 3 months before you enter the relationship. So that after 3 months you are done thinking, you can say you don't want to do it again. And nobody will say you broke anybody's heart. But our young people today, if you see a girl, just like, ha, see shape. Excuse me, just on the spot. We can talk to the person. So you see that rush? That's why you say, why do I always meet the wrong women? I always meet women are just, every morning when you wake up, fear women. You know how you go to the point of fearing women? You rush your decisions. And I'm going to help some of you. If you've made a wrong decision about relationship, don't be afraid to correct it. Don't be afraid to correct it. Do not rush. I spoke to a couple. I don't want to give details. I spoke to a couple. I said, when they were planning to get married, calm down. I'm seeing some things. Not just in the spirit, but practically. Work on this, work on this. They said, okay, sir. I said, I'm going to give you something to work on, you and you. Because they were in a relationship, and they were having issues every day. They were fighting every day. Every day. What I mean, every day. Every day, every moment. So I said, I'm seeing that some things are not like it. So please, can you wait? So wait, I'm going to ask you to pray for 1 month. As you're praying, work on this. I want to work on you. You have this issue. There is anger issue. There is all of this. They said, okay. And they left my office. They came back after a few weeks to tell me their wedding date. And I'm a good person. I rejoice with those that rejoice. I said, congrats. I'm not happy about this. But they got married, but are not married today. Because in less than even 1 month into the marriage, hell has been let loose. In less than 2-3 months, they have been going home and coming back. Going home, I'm going to my mother's house. I'm coming back. Before you know, they couldn't handle the situation. And all of that have been avoided. Now, I'm not saying they're bad people. They're not bad people. I'm saying if they had given a little time, two things would have happened. Either God would have worked on their lives. Do you understand? Or they would have not gotten married at all. And everybody was going to be fine. Now we are dealing with the case of divorce. And people think divorce is very easy. Divorce is one of the most difficult things to go through. If the heartbreak is painful, if you think broken relationship is painful, try divorce. One is that it gives a stigma already. Do you understand? You know, ex and divorcee is not the same thing. That's my former girlfriend and that's my former wife. It's not the same thing. And this is kind of, I'm just trying to say, do not rush your decisions. Don't jump into a relationship. Don't jump into it. If you take time to think about some things, you will not do many things in this life. I get to the point. Everybody wants to travel. Say, your guy just called you, guy, opportunity just show, Madagascar, sharp, sharp visa. You say, I'm in. Really? The question, have you been thinking of going to Madagascar before? How come you are in just now? So where were you going to before this Madagascar option came up? Now, could it be that God used that brother to point you to Madagascar? It's possible. But you cannot decide at that point. I feel what I'm saying. So, don't make decisions under pressure. You're going to regret them. Another thing that will help you make right decision, set your priorities right. And let your priorities affect your choices. What I'm saying is, you want to make right decisions. The first question I need to ask you is, what are the things that matter in your life? Have your priority. Like we always say, God first, ministry, family. So have that priority list in your head. So when you make choice, when you want to make a decision, it's affecting it. Some people's priority list is money, 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 then money, then me. Now, when that's your priority list, if you have to make a decision, the first thing you're going to check is which one pays more, and that'll be it. How you go give me money, and that'll be it. That's bad priority. But for me now, my priority, for instance, is my faith. Why do you think Moses was able to save Israel? The reason is very simple. Hebrews 11 tells us, because remember, you know who Moses was? Moses was rich. Are you aware? He grew up in Pharaoh's house. Egypt was the world power at that time. It was the strongest nation. Moses grew up as a prince. His name was Prince Moses. He grew up as a prince in Pharaoh's house. How come he was able to make that decision to abandon all those things to go and go? He first ran away and became a refugee and came back and wandered in the wilderness. You know, if you look at Moses' life, you would have said he went from grace to grass, from being a prince to wandering in the wilderness and dying in the wilderness. But that was God's plan for his life. How did he come to that point? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, I think verse 25, that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of the season. How did he do that? Next verse. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt. So, in his value system, working with the Lord and with Christ was higher than being rich in Egypt. That affected his choice. Is someone following me this evening? So, what is your value system? When you want to choose who to marry, what are the first things you consider? Big breasts. Big buttocks. Is that what it is? Because that's the point. You have all these crazy jokes on social media that is actually shaping our theology. You say, the girl no get nyash. The girl, that's the point. So everybody's looking for a girl that has buttocks. What is your value system? What are the first things you check when you want to choose a relationship? What are the first things you check when you want to relocate? What are the first things you check? And because that's actually, for instance, in this church, how do I make decisions in this church? We have our values, our core values. Before I decide anything, first thing I'm going to check is, I know the purpose of this church, to raise the people who have knowledge of the word, who fill themselves with spirit, who have contemplation. That's our values, that's our vision. So, if I want to do anything, how will this decision we're about to make help people get better? One day God said to me, he said, anytime you want to do something in church, and it is not helping you people get better, it's not helping people become stronger in their work with God, you're about to waste your money and your time. So I always say, for instance, how is this man up as a meeting contributing to our spiritual growth? I follow what I'm saying. We have 10 million naira to spend. Now, how do we share the money? I'll first check what is our values. What is our priority list? Do I just begin to throw money around because we can afford it? So, you see, it even begins to affect how you spend money. When you get 10 million, you did big business, 10 million came in. This is now, how do you spend this money? What is your priority? Where is God on the list? Where is ministry on the list? Where is your family on the list? For some of us, not us now, I believe, some people, their first thing on their list is balling. They will not say it, they will say God first, but I know it is not God. So that's why a guy makes money through internet fraud. The first thing he begins to do is to ball. And in case you are wondering what is balling, it's not to play ball. Where they mean balling is that they begin to spend that money on everything unnecessary. Buy loud. You know, bankable loud. Do you know what is loud? All these things they smoke. Different. Buy Canadian loud. Buy this. They say that this one. Buy all those things. Then start buying expensive drinks. Then buy short sneaker. Are you following me? Buy short knicker. Socks. How can you forget socks? Buy socks. Oh God. And then he begins to go to all the places where they play music and start buy iPhone. And start doing, we are outside. We are outside. Chilling. That is the priority list. In 2 months, money has finished. If he now has got, if he got big money, he will use them buy third hand GLK and paint it white. You know what I'm saying now? Third hand or even fourth hand. So how do you know? It always stops in different places. Forget that it is shining. It stops in different places. They just buy it and is it priority? So once you have wrong priorities, you will make wrong decisions. So I'm going to ask you, what matters to you? When you enter school, as a student, what are your priorities? If your priority is to make a first class, it will choose your friends for you. You know what I'm saying? It will choose your friends for you. It will choose the kind of things you go. When I went to school, I'm not saying it's bad, but you see all this departmental night, I didn't go for one. Because I didn't have any vision to become a politician in school. So I knew what I wanted. I was a fellowship boy through and through. And reading my books, I didn't want to become a teacher president. So I didn't know what, so I made my choices. It wasn't even a matter of sin or no sin or hell or hellfire or heaven. It wasn't a question of doing right or doing wrong. I just knew what I wanted. So if you actually have the right priorities, it already shapes your choices. So you must know what matters. As a man, when you have children, how do you make decisions to your family? What are the things that matter to you? Your children's education, how much do they matter? That will determine whether you will put them in a good school or whether you will use that money to ball. I get the point. So, priorities help decisions already. I get what I'm saying, because I want you to understand. It's actually very easy to make right decisions, but you have to need to have the right priorities. Of course, the next thing is seek right counsels when you need to. I didn't say counsel for me, but the right counsels. Proverbs 11 verse 14. You know, Proverbs 11 verse 14 is very clear. He said, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the motive of counsel, there is safety. The undoing of our generation, actually, to be fair to the young people, is that we have no mentor. Let me tell you, there are not many fathers. Are you aware? Yeah. There are not many mentors to young people. And that's why I thank God for church. There are not many mentors. Many people would rather criticize young people than teach them. And so, one of the things that will provide, that God will provide for you in a local church is counsel. So, if you have to seek counsel, seek counsel. So, if I want to make a decision and it's very tough and I don't know what to do, I'm going to check all this, and then if I need to ask a question, I can ask my pastor, sister, what do you think we should do about this? There are people that God has put around my life. Even in church, I do it as in church. When we get to a point where things are not, I'll just ask my pastor, what do you think we should do about this? When we wanted to buy land, for instance, right? You know, wanted, I had the number of plots I wanted us to buy. And I was bent on getting it. So when, you know, it got to a point, the lands you are seeing, because real estate is a big thing in Enugu now, right? We saw some lands that they offer, they offered us one plot for 60 million. 60 million. 70 million. We saw two plus 90 million, 120 million. So it was really, and first question I asked myself is, because it's about seeking counsel and priority. I said to myself, at our level as a church, even if somebody pays in 200 million to our accounts, is it wise to use 100 million to go and buy one plot of land at our level? I'm talking about priorities. Amen. And seeking counsel. So I just told myself, well, so when I was considered, and I asked my pastor, he said, no, don't do that. He said, don't even get that number of plots. Get this one. He said, moving from not having land to having at least one plot is something. And that counsel did it for me. I said, I told them, let's change our search. Eventually, God gave us more than the plots we expected. Amen. At the price we wanted just one plot. But God gave us what was, what you can call 1.5 plots. At the price of one plot. I get what I'm talking about. But then it's just about, it got to that point where I said, let me ask you, Pastor. And he gave me counsel. So when you want to make decisions and you don't know what to do, ask. Have the right people around that you can ask. Then of course, learn how to follow divine leadings. Learn how to follow, master how to hear from God. Please master. Let me tell you this thing. As a young man, if you don't know how to hear from God, you are endangering your future wife and your future children. Because when a woman agrees to follow you into marriage, she's committing her life choices, her future to you. So if you do not hear God and you choose the wrong church, she will follow you there. If you choose the wrong school for your children, they will follow you there. If you choose the wrong city to live in, they'll follow you there. So you're actually endangering them. So what you begin to do is begin to learn how to hear God and to follow God. And it's very easy to hear God. One of the things I recommend for you is get my book out there, How to Find the Will of God for Your Life and Everyday Living. You need some of those materials. Learn, and don't just read that book, get messages. You know, one thing you need to do as a believer is to learn how to be led by the Spirit and get better at it every day. So keep learning. So that you can master to know that this is God talking, that's not God talking, this is what I think that we should do at this point. So that you do not get married tomorrow, have a family, have 7 million, and put all of them in an investment and everything just vanishes. That will not be your story. And while in marriage, you are starting from the scratch. Something that divine leading would have solved. Counsel would have solved. And let me, you know, I talked about taking your time. Let me tell you, if you don't want to be scammed, you don't want to be scammed, I'll tell you two things. Without prayer, of course, that is prayer, leading of the Spirit is number one. But let me tell you other two things, you don't want to be scammed. One, never make financial decisions in a hurry. Number two, never make any serious financial decision without talking to somebody. Let me tell you, it takes, you know, it's difficult for two people to be deceived. Do you know that? Let me give an example. Have you ever experienced this old 4119 that they used to do along the road where they'll just do you jazz? Okay, jazz. Now, how do I explain jazz to people who are not Nigerians? Jazz. It's not a music genre, okay? Well, I mean jazz. I mean, okay, voodoo. Voodoo is serious. Jazz is not too serious. It's just that they just touch you something for your eye. You just begin to act the same way. Once they do that thing to you, then I ask you to go and bring money, go and withdraw money, all those kind of things. The first thing you observe is that they hurry you up. They know that thing will clear. They hurry you up. Say, go now. Withdraw the money now. Hurry up, or this investment is passing. And the next thing they'll tell you is, don't tell anybody. Because once you tell someone, that thing working on you, it's not working on that person. Person will say, tell me that story again. It's like they, are you serious? What kind of investment is that? And that's the point. So prayer will help. Talk to people, it will help. And then don't try to rush. Where are you running to? Don't try to rush. Now, I'm not saying you should be slow. I'm saying it again. I'm saying you should be slow. Because some people are too slow for their own good. A decision you should have made today and tomorrow, you say, I need 1 week. Before the 1 week, the deal might have passed. That is why you begin to learn how to hear from God over simple issues. So that in less than 24 hours, you've been able to clear whether God wants you to go or not to go. That's what I'm talking about. So begin to learn to hear from God. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, that it is not in man, and I love that scripture very well. It is not in, oh Lord, I know that the will of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Give me like Amplified Classic of this verse. Amplified Classic. Oh Lord, the man was pleading, I know that the determination of the will of man is not in himself. It is not in man, even in a strong man, or in a man at his best, to direct his own steps. Even a man at his best, a strong man, cannot still. There will be a time that you need to listen to God and say, Father, show me, what do I do next? But my wife can tell people that are very close to me. Once things just begin to get very, you always see me saying things like, Father, what is the way out of this now? I just know, because there is always a way. Just that you've not seen it in the spirit. So Father, what is the way? You just say me, what's the way out of this? What is the way out of this? He helps me in my decision making. Amen. Praise God. So that's just talking about how to lead. If you want to learn how to lead, learn how to make decisions. Now, when you've learned how to make decisions in your own life, you can now, when you become a leader, and there is need to make a decision, you can now, the same way you've been making decisions in your own life, is the same way you make decisions as a leader. It's the same thing that's been working for you that you're not bringing to leadership. If you're a person that in your own life, you don't listen to the divine leading. When you lead people to, you will not listen to divine leading in leading them. So, what makes you followable? Remember our topic again. What's our topic? Learning to lead. That's what I started talking about yesterday. So, what makes you followable as a leader? Remember again, I said, leadership is not positional. It's not having a post. You can lead without having a post. Leadership is simply influence. I gave an example yesterday. To the glory of God, I just want to brag. When I began to command followership as a boy, I wasn't up to 20. I mean, when people began to gravitate around me, also, I wasn't even rich. But people these days, they think, just have money, people will follow you. Well, it is true on social media. And when you have money, people will follow you. But like I said yesterday, they're not following you, they're following your money. And they want to check whether it is true. Lose the money, all of them will go. I was a young boy, I didn't have money, I didn't have anything, but people were just coming around me. There is something that are a few things I can share with you from my experience and from God's word that makes you followable. And even some of you that want to get married, that's one of the easiest ways to find a good woman. Because every good woman wants to follow someone that at least has sense. Because marriage is a person that decided to follow you. So, number one thing I'm going to say, be visionary. Be a visionary person. Have a vision and direction for your life. Have a vision and direction for your life and for your ministry. Where are you going to? What is God saying about your future? Do you even know where you're going to? Do you even know your direction? Let me give you the example I gave the women in the morning. How I see marriage. Marriage is that I'm driving along the road. I'm driving on the expressway. And I see someone and I stop. And I say, join me. Every sensible person is supposed to ask, where are you going to? I get the point. Where are you going to? See, imagine I say, join me. I say, where are you going to? I say, well, Lagos or Kaduna. You get as it could be. Or your. But bad as it bad, Canada. Every sensible person will not follow you. That's how not to marry an idiot. Because once you don't have direction, you're going to marry an idiot. Because idiots don't care where you're going to. If I had this, say it in Soka language. Or the call the posh. Or the call the good. Now, how do we explain this now? For the non-Igbo and non-Soka audience. Or the call the posh. What does it, who can explain it? Okay, best of them for that flock together. But if I go literally, it just means, well, best of them, father, let's talk with that. Because at the end of the day, you will meet your type. That's what I'm saying. If you're a guy that doesn't have direction, the only kind of person that can join you on that journey is still a woman who has no direction. Because every single woman that stops you will ask you, where are you going to? The only thing for her to join you, if you don't know where you're going to, is if she doesn't know where she's going to. If she too is just moving and going to nowhere. So when you're going to say, nowhere in particular, I say, me too, self, nowhere in particular. Let's go together. Are you guys, we arrive nowhere in particular. This is one reason why marriages have issues. Please hear what I'm saying. Men are leaders. Let me use ministry for instance. You just start your life. You are at where you find a wife, you are not ready for ministry. You know, we just want to live your life freely. They won't do anything. And then you marry the person. 2 years into the marriage, God begins to call you. So you're about to tell a woman that you're about to become a pastor. A woman who has lived all her life saying, I will never marry a pastor. So that I knew a man, I was telling him in the morning, till today, he's a pastor of a church. Under a pastor under someone. His wife doesn't go to that church, a pastor's. Because nothing concerns the woman. The church he pastors is a conservative church. They don't wear earrings. They don't wear whatever. The woman wears trousers and wears everything. And she doesn't even go to that church. She drinks in the open. She's not a bad woman. No. She's not a bad woman. But she's like, this is not where we are going to. So I'm not saying you will have all the pictures about your life, but at least have something. What is God saying? When you meet a woman, you want to marry. What has God said? What's the small you know? At least there should be small that you know, Abby. What is small you know? Say, I don't know everything that's going to happen. I know that God will show me more things. But look at the few things God is showing me about my future, about my business, see the kind of things I want to do. Just that, know that you are here. You don't know if you want to travel to England tomorrow. You don't know if you want to stay in Nigeria. You don't know if you want to. It's a different thing that for now, God is showing you this. And in the marriage, God advances. But still in the same direction. But that you are very confused. You can't be followable. People follow people of visions. People that are visionary are followable. How did I get people to follow as a young man? I had a vision. What was my vision? I want to turn 40% of secondary schools in Osaka. 40% of secondary school students to ministers. That was my vision. So I called people and told them, that's the vision. So people that liked it said, wow, we're going to follow you. That's the point. Where are you going to? Without money, but you're a visionary person, you're followable. I get the point. So I'm not saying you are even about to start ministry. That's what I'm saying. That when people talk with you, they can see that you have plans, you have visions that you are pursuing. They want to hang around you. So what is your vision for your life? Are you following me? Start with, what's your vision for ministry? Because I've explained to everybody, it's a ministry. Everybody's called to do ministry. What is your vision for the ministry? How far do you want to go with the Lord? What church are you attending? And what church will you attend? Are you the kind of person that will come into a church, stay for 2 weeks, move to another church? Because that's another thing. Stability. I'm talking about second one now. Stability makes you followable. Not that you are in a church today. 2 years after you've changed church. No sensible person will follow you that way. You've done in the past 10 years, you've done 16 businesses. I am not doing any of them now. Not as if you are starting new branches. You are just doing different things. You sell clothes small, you shut it down. See, clothes is not boring. You start selling food. Then you come to this meeting and they talked about learning skill. They say, I'll learn a skill. Let me help you. One of the ways to achieve stability with vision is to think that thing through before you start it. Think it through and pray about it. The reason why I cannot, by God's help, I cannot wake up tomorrow and say, I'm no more doing this church I'm doing. I thought and prayed about this for 2 years. 2 whole years. So when I tell you God sent me, I say it with the confidence of a man that cannot be defeated. So you must be visionary. What's your plan? Where are you going to? Then be stable. Then another thing I'm going to talk about is focus. What makes you followable? Focus. People will follow people who are focused. If you are distracted, you cannot be followed. Unless you attract very crazy people. Do you know, they call it HK. What they do with Yahoo. Why are those people followed? One, they have a vision. Stupid vision, but they have this vision. Then they are focused. You get to the house morning tonight, the only thing I'm talking about is client, focus. That focus they have is bringing young people towards them. So you can't be a very distracted human being and expect that people are going to commit their lives and whatever to follow you. So you see why I said yesterday, I'm not talking about positions. When you have children, these things I'm talking about will make your children want to follow you. When they know you're a very focused person, they want to follow you. You know, there are parents whose children are not following in their footsteps. They're not following them. They're just respecting them because they're their parents. You know why? They are not leaders in the home. So they must be focused. How did Jesus go to the cross? Hebrews 12 verse 1. The Bible tells us, looking at verse 2, verse 1 said, wherefore seeing we are compassed by a great cloud of witnesses, let us out of that. Now see the next verse. I'm coming to verse 2. Verse 1 again. He said, looking on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, watch, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Why was Jesus able to endure the cross? There was something that was before him, was looking at. Eyes on the goal. Do you get the point? When your eyes on the goal, you can stay focused. When you stay focused, you can achieve many things. And once the people see that a focused person, they want to come towards you. Try this. Some of you that are students or what have you, or even you have an office, live your life with a very focused person. People naturally want to start coming around you to know what's up with you. You are too serious. You are too focused. You are too serious. Amen. Then of course, number four, integrity. Integrity is followable. Because integrity means, Matthew 5 verse 37 says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Integrity means that you can be trusted. What is integrity? Integrity, one of the easiest ways I like to define integrity is that integrity is who you are where nobody is looking. Being someone that can be trusted. You can say a thing and stand by it. You don't lie. You have a trusted character. I don't do this. I do this. Once people notice that consistent character, they want to come and follow you. I told you guys yesterday, how I began to get the first set of people come around me in class was because I do not cheat in exam. I just sit in my front seat. Are you following the point? And they liked it. Some people hated me for it too. What are you even feeling like? Some people began to come secretly and say, emoji. They didn't know I was a band of God. I've never preached in class as I then. I like how. I want to learn to do it because you have integrity. And I'm going to tell some of you that are businessmen and are CEOs and all of that. Please, you see, in business, you want your staff to really follow you. You want them to not just work for you, but to really follow you and learn from you. Have integrity. Say the truth. Stand by the truth. Don't manipulate figures. If you are a man of integrity, people want to attach themselves to you and follow you. Yes, I was saying that in Nigeria, we don't have politicians who are leaders. Now, not many. You know what I said that yesterday? How many governors in Nigeria can come out and say something and the whole youth will respond? Not because we are afraid. Do you understand? Not because we are afraid. The person that is actually showing that kind of and this is not to campaign for anybody, showing that kind of whatever is Governor Peter Obi. Because the man has no political power or anything. But he says the thing, the whole you said, yes. You know why? He's proving, he's trying to show us that he has integrity, that he did not embezzle funds. You know, if someone can really prove with enough evidence that Peter Obi embezzled funds, he will lose all those followers that he has. I get what I'm talking about. So integrity is followable. It's follow. So you notice some people, this is not okay because we don't live in a divided country. Some people see Peter Obi as their president. But he has no power. He has no political power at the moment. You know why? Whether he's true, people say he's a lie. The man, also, every policeman will embezzle money. I don't know. I'm just saying that at least he's convincing people that he did not embezzle money. And that for people is okay. Integrity is followable. So when you have someone, for instance, that tells a lot of lies, when if you tell us to stop, to wait, we will run. You cannot be followed. And the thing about lying is, you can't be so smart. Once people come around you, they will discover that this guy is not sincere. I get the point. Especially talk about family. Especially when children. You know, one thing I told you guys, your children will always find you out. Sure, you know. You can't hide from your children. If you like the present for everybody, once you have those children that are looking at you, they know you more than you think they know you. And once they see that your life at home is not consistent with your life in the church, they can't follow you. This is why some pastors' children do not want to do ministry. Because they feel their father is pretending. They feel their mother is pretending. Because they don't have integrity, so they don't want to follow that path. You must be a man that has integrity, who is working on his character. If you already have a culture of telling a lot of lies, begin to trust that God will help you from here. Think over what you say. Say them. When you say a thing, mean it. Say what you mean, and mean what you say. Proverbs 10 verse 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. He that perfected his ways shall be known. And like this, give me NLT, it shall be known. People with integrity walk safely. And those who follow crooked paths, we slip and fall. Give me Amplified Classic. He who walks uprightly, what I want you to see is walk securely. But he who takes a crooked way shall be found out. You can't outsmart everybody. If they have integrity, you will be found out. And there are some areas I would have felt that if I had time. As, let me tell you one area of integrity you should not mess up. If you want people to follow you. Money. Financial integrity is one thing that commands followership. I know you guys love God though, and you love me very well. But imagine you find out one day that all this money we've been saying we are giving for spiritual hope, that the more you are giving it, once they finish sending it, pastor is to collect it to buy cars for himself and enjoys his life. And I'll come out again and say, please give more, give more. What if you find out you love God and you love me? How will it affect your heart? If you don't send it, it's just because touch not my anointed, do my brother know how, but you'll be talking with yourself. Say now, wow. If you even stop giving. And that's not because you hate your pastor. That's not because you're angry that he's eating the money. Just that, okay, if you needed money, now tell us to give. Share that is prophet offering. The other side of the point. Tell us to give to you now. Which one is our bringing money? That integrity is always followable. That's why many people, small departmental presidents, they make you. You embezzle fund. And that's why once you hand over as another president, there is nobody that hangs around you because they are just around you because of your president. So what is the thing you handle? You know, one of the things church here will teach you is integrity. I teach you here, if I send you to go to market and there is 45 naira change, bring it back. Bring it back. He say, now where man they work, he they chop. Now why they call him workshop? stupid. That's crazy. Integrity. Please learn it. Financial integrity is a big deal. There are other things. So, for me, there are three areas of integrity I always teach. I teach financial integrity. I teach moral uprightness. That is where you are not an immoral person. Then, there is verbal trustworthiness. In all these three things, you must be getting better. I know many young men have struggles, all of them, but you must be getting better. People should be able to see that you are working on your morality. You are working to live right. And let me tell you, the people that God will send your way to follow you, they are not stupid. They are not also wicked. They understand that you are human. So, they know that you can make mistakes. But what they will not want is for you to live in your mistake and dwell in it. They will get tired. So that is moral uprightness. That is verbal what is verbal trustworthiness? Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. When you say you are coming, come. If you say I'm not coming, don't come. Then financial integrity. But the Lord wants me to highlight that particular one. Because one of the major things that makes you followable, financial integrity. Ah! Nobody wants their money to be messed with. You are here, people cannot comfortably enter a business deal with you without you cheating them. Use every opportunity to take people's money. Let me tell you what is going to happen. With time, especially in this church right now, with time, you eat someone's money, you have the love of God, we are going to forgive you. But that person will never do business with you again. And that person will tell another person. So if you've eaten Jeremiah's money and he forgives you, tomorrow the miracle is talking to him and miracle says, I won't do one business with so-so guy. He says, eh? That boy is a brother in Christ. But please. In fact, let me not say anything against him. Just talk to pastor about it first. Do you understand? And he thinks, pastor, if they talk to you, defend me. No. I'll first say, go and pray about it again. Is it that brother you want to do business? Pray about it again. Be trusted. And I'm going to say it now. If you are listening to me and you've deferred in financial integrity, you've defaulted rather in financial integrity at some time with people that are close to you, after this meeting, call them and tender an apology and make things right where you can. Because you still have a lot of life ahead of you. Make things right where you can. I know what I'm saying. People that are in CYF, the elders of CYF, can bear you witness that when I had nothing or what have you, never in my life has commitment been sent to my account or offering. I had nothing. We will raise money for conference. We will do the conference. I will not even have money to come for the conference. And I will not tell them, give me from the post. I will trek to the meeting. Because church money is not your money. I guess what I'm talking about. Church money, if the ministry says, so I want to give you, it's a different case. But church money is not pastor's money. Integrity. And I told somebody, and I'm not bragging about it, I can't even brag about it. But I would say, if you want to boast, you should boast in the Lord. The devil knows. One thing you cannot use to trap me is money. Bring all that temptation. See that one? The ship has sailed. When I should have been trapped? It's a long time ago. When I didn't even have a house. Is it now that at least I can see where to put my head that you want to trap me? No, come on. Integrity. Say amen. It makes you follow up. Give me Proverbs 11 verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. But the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. So integrity makes follow up. Number 4 or 5. Be courageous. Be courageous. What was the first instruction Moses or God gave Joshua? When he wanted to, leave the earth. When Moses left the earth. He told him in Joshua 1 verse 5. Everywhere your feet are stepped on, I will give you. In verse 8, he told him, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But he told him day and night, told him to pay attention to the word. Then after handling your spiritual life, he now said, verse 9, only be strong and of a good courage. Because, look at the point, Moses handed over to Joshua as a young man. So how many guys were in Israel then? Over 3 million people were in the wilderness. So how will a young man in his 20s command millions of people? The answer is there. Be strong and of good courage. If you are courageous, people will follow you. Fear cannot be followed. Weakness cannot be followed. Courage must be followed. Faith is followable. Are you getting the point? Are you following me? Do you know? Let me give an example. If I'm walking along this road now, and you don't know where we are going to, there is something you don't really know. There's something I can do, and you become scared. If I'm walking and I say, ah, which way, which way, which way, which way, which way, which way? I get the point. Which way, which way? The other day we took right. Today we're taking left. Will you keep? What we say, Baba, do you know where we are going to? Courage and boldness is followable. But even if I don't know where I'm going, I'm walking boldly. And I'm doing the which way, which way, which way in my mind. Do you know what I'm saying? And I turn left, turn right. If we follow him, because we feel, okay, the way he's walking, he knows where he's going to. If you are a weak person, if you are not courageous and bold, people don't want to follow you. Deal with fear. Fear of life. People are afraid of life. Fear of taking risks. People follow you because you are courageous enough to take some risks. People follow risk takers. If you can take this, people follow you. Even as a young person, be courageous. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to start this business. I want to start that business. I want to do this for the Lord. Let me give an example. I was less than 20, like I said, when I started organizing. I remember for the first time, 2011, I called people and I told them, I want to organize a camp meeting that will camp people and feed them. Some of you are part of this. 2011, I just left secondary school a few years ago. We had nothing. And I thought we were going to organize a camp meeting that will feed people. Today I used to wonder what made people believe that was even possible. We saw things, so we suffered. Now that these boys that are following me, now they will just, now we go enter bush, go get firewood. Cook the food, gather food. Sometimes even the time we ask everybody, contribute rice from your house. Now, why was it all of that? Because I was courageous enough to say we're going to do it. People follow courage. I get what I'm saying? People follow courage. Weakness is not followable. So your everyday life, be bold. And don't fake it. Let that courage come from the place of the Spirit. Let it come from prayer. Do you know that the way you will be bold? Your wife knows. Even though I don't know what you are doing. But since you say it's fine, let's keep going. Let your wife, your spouse tomorrow, be confident because you are in the house. Say, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. But since you are the one leading, we'll win. Is someone following me this evening? Be courageous. Now, you might not have all the answers figured out, but don't fear. Don't live in fear. You might not know everything you are meant to do, but be confident. Courage is followable. If the company are running a business, you guys are at the end of the road, market sales are bad, staff salary has not been paid, things are going bad, and you call a staff meeting. There is something you are going to do, you lose all your staff that day. And the way you're going to talk, they will stick with you for 3 more months. It's courage. So I don't know. Well, things are going bad. We've analyzed. But I'd like to assure you guys one thing. We are working. We are working on something. Look at this, and these are the things we have done. Just know that if you stick with me, we'll get through with this. Come on. You talk like that. They will know they are following a leader. They will stick there. Others will be telling them, what are you doing with that company that is about to collapse? They say, I know we're going to get out of it. It's courage. And that's why God has given us his faith. Use it. Use it. Speak with the faith of God. I get the point. Don't be a weak man. So when things go back, you just reject. I don't know what we're going to do. How do we come out of this? Come on. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. And let that confidence come from the fact that the Lord thy God is with thee, wherever thou goest. God will be with you. Are you getting the point? So be confident, be courageous. You see this thing called boldness and courage? People can follow you too. Be small, low. Let me even say it in another way. When I was in school, I used to tell you many times. I used to have this boy in my class that by my standards, he was ugly. My standard, not God. God made everybody, all things bright and beautiful. But by my standard, he was ugly. He was short. By my standard. He couldn't dress. By my standard. But he was a very confident boy. If you see the kind of girls this boy used to talk to. At first, when I started seeing him, I said, this boy is not wise. You said, look yourself for mirror. But the girls were responding. Because you see the way, he's just like this. I'm telling you. And some of the tall, big boys cannot. He said, Nekailua now. In our bodies, they follow you talk now. You just don't do anyhow. Let's talk now. And sometimes I wonder, what is giving this boy confidence? And you see the ladies will be responding. That's stupid courage. Abi, courage channeled to the wrong things. I wish he can channel it to his business like that. And approach customers that way. You know, a courageous person can make you buy something you don't need. You get the point? But you need to check him, man. But it taught me something. I observed that guy for 2 or 3 hours in school. He did everything. He later became a politician in the school. Get the point? Small. If he stands in the class, you won't see him. He will climb seats and say, vote for me. And he was an empty vessel. What I mean by that is, even when he was contesting, if you look at his manifesto, he had nothing he wanted to do. He had nothing. And he wanted to go for faculty treasurer.
That's what he wanted.
Confidently. But they will put it in. And that's one thing Nigerian politicians have. Nigerian politicians are too bold. Bold in their wickedness. They can boldly come and share indomie to a people that they've done nothing for the past 4 years. But they're bold. And they'll be lying with boldness. If you vote for us, we will change everywhere. You will vote for them. Because courage is believable. Boldness is believable. But let it be rooted in the fact that you know that God is going to be with you. So be confident. Then I'll say a few more things before we close. When you are given opportunity to lead people, have this team spirit thing. Have team spirit. What I mean is, people will follow you to anywhere if they don't see what you are doing as your thing. If they see it as their thing. So it's not, you can't lead people by saying, I want to achieve this, I want to do this. If it's your I thing, they're going to allow you to do it. But if it's a we thing, they will follow you. Do you get the point? And yeah, I mentioned I can say about this, but I don't have time now. But have team spirit. For instance, a few things I can say, use we when you talk. When you're talking to your team, use we. You're talking to your spouse. Say, I want us to, let us buy this land. Don't always say, I want to buy this land. Don't go see Anka. Don't go Anka. Why not tell your wife, I want us to buy this land. Now, she's seen it as us. Trust me, if she has money, she will contribute. But already doing, I want to buy this land. You know, I'm providing for this house. I. You can't even want to see it as an I thing. Once they will thing, they want to put their head into it. I thought that some of these guys that were here, I remember those days. We did one retreat somewhere at Shalom in Osaka. International, and we cooked food. We cooked the food around St. Cyprian's. If you know what I described for you now, and we finished cooking the food around 11 p.m. in the night. There was no vehicle, no car, nothing. We carried the cooler on our head. Men of God, carry cooler, carry water, and we're trekking. If you carry small, you drop. Another person will carry. Why would people? I wasn't paying them. Why would people give themselves to that kind of nonsense? What do you think is the reason? I get the point. They feel it's our thing. Now we. I get the point. Now if I come that I'm saying, look at what I want to do. I want to say, ah, it's you. So that you now hear things like, pay us. Even in church here. One of the things we sell to you once you come to church, which is actually true, is that this is your church. The way I can talk and say, my church, you also have the right to say, your church. It is not more my church than it is your church. I'm just privileged to be the pastor. And that's what we'll talk to you, we'll tell you, we. It's not just a leadership of manipulating you, it's actually how we see it. Because we see it like that, that's why we do many things. That's why I can afford to do travel and I know things will work, because it is our thing. When you talk like that, people buy into the vision and they want to run with you. But when you go, I want to. That's why one of the things that makes you unfollowable is pride. Pride and selfishness makes you unfollowable. Who likes following proud people? Pride can be disgusting. You know, right? Very disgusting. It smells. I told somebody, I say, even if you have pride, cover it. Cover it. Let's not catch you. But when you have pride and you are displaying it with boldness all over the place, it makes you unfollowable. Be wise to carry people along. Be wise to carry people along. Well, three more things, and these three things are very important because I reserved them last for a reason. What else makes you very followable? Please, men, be a problem solver. People follow people that solve problems. Even Wagenam is one major reason. You see, you're an elder brother. You want your younger ones to be able to listen to you, solve problems. When they bring an issue to you, proffer solution. Now, if I bring an issue to you, I cannot provide a solution, I'm not coming again. Once people come around, you can solve their problem. I don't keep coming. What was it I had then when I was that young? I could solve problems. You come and tell me, sir, you know the regular problem that young people have, secondary schools have. Sir, my mother used to do this. I could tell you, look at what I wanted to do. Once you can proffer solution, you don't need a title to lead. Be a problem solver. In your home, your wife encounters problem at work and is telling you about it. And then you ignore her. You are making yourself unfollowable. Solving that problem, or at least giving your input at least, will make her come back again to ask you. Solve problems. Leaders solve problems. And solving problems make them followable. Solve problems. When something is going wrong and somebody tells you, look at, just tell the person, well, give solution. So what if I don't know what to say? That's why you need to study hard. That's why you need to read wide. That's why you need to have knowledge. Do you understand the point? The job my wife is first of all a nurse. And then she does many other jobs. She's also a virtual assistant and all of that. Certified. And one more thing that she is certified to. Yeah, my wife takes a lot of courses. In fact, as I'm talking to you, I know she's taking every time she's taking course. Now, I don't have an idea. I'm a Roman cable virtual assistant. I don't have an idea of all those things. Do you understand? But whenever she gets a problem at work, she will tell me. Sometimes I hear my wife talk to some people, maybe even some of her siblings, and they'll be asking her for suggestion. She will tell them, see what I think you should do. He said, but don't worry, let me ask dad and I'll get back to you. She just knows that if she asks me, I'm going to tell her something. Be that kind of man in your house, around the younger ones, that they know that when they bring something to you, you can solve it. Don't be clueless. Don't be a polu. Just there. He said, I'm as confused as you are. How can a leader talk that way? If you're as confused as I am, then I'll go and look for someone else that can solve the problem. Amen. Small things, guys. Either your wife or your younger one wants to, they give them assignment. Maths. And you don't know maths. And they say, solve it for me. What should you do? You don't know it. Okay, somebody said, Chat GPT. Okay. Who else? What will you do, Amara? For real, what will you do? He said, come back later. You want to go and learn it? Well, you are not expected to know everything because you cannot even know everything. At that point, first thing I'm going to show is interest. And look at the question and say a few things I know. I know that this plus this would, this, but then how they arrived at this answer? Do you know what you are going to do? Let me call Sister Norma. She will know it. I have not solved that problem. I have referred her. I have provided a solution. I'm not going to say you know everything. Because ChatGPT too, self. If you just carry you go away, no. So sometimes Pastor Maka was here a few minutes ago. She can tell you. I call her a lot. 95% of times I call her, it's nothing about me. Because I'm a pastor. I'm able to assume that because I'm a pastor, I should know many things, or if not everything. And that's why they follow. I get what I'm talking about. So sometimes they call, sir, my health, this. I'm telling you, before I got married, I used to receive some. Now I'm married, of course. Most ladies now divert most of those questions to my wife. I want to ask mom. But I guess there's something wrong, because I'm mentoring people, and I mentor some ladies who have no help from home or from anywhere. So they can even ask me personal questions about their womanhood. Now, sometimes it's health related. Imagine you're a pastor, someone chats you up and say, Dad, I'm really scared. It's been 7 months. I've not seen my flow. And don't ask me, I didn't do anything. Like, I'm even a virgin. I've not seen my flow for the past 7 months. You see that fear? Now, be a problem solver. As I was at the beginning, say, you've not seen, what are you self asking me? Do I used to see flow? So what is bringing about this kind of question to me this hot afternoon? Do I see flow? I don't see flow. You know, they're asking because they trust you. They're not asking because you know the answer. The first thing is they can talk to you. That's the first thing you need to learn. Because that matter is a sensitive matter for them. How come they're telling you that it's a guy about it? That's a time to make yourself more followable. You know what I would do? Most times I'll just say, you know what? Let me ask you. So can you talk to someone else? That's somebody I actually trust. I'll say, call Pastor Maka. Ask her. Because she's a professional out there. I'm providing, are you getting what I'm talking about? Providing solution. When people, you can solve the problem of young people. So who has ever followed me or has ever gone for any secondary school visitation to come preach? Let me see, anybody? The first thing you notice is that once you are done preaching and stand back, students form a line. Young people want answers. There is no that I've ever preached in secondary school and I say, if you want to see me, come and see me, that at least 30 people did not come. And I'm not saying, I'm actually not saying more. Sometimes 100 people. And I'm not exaggerating at all. I finished preaching in the school by 2 a.m. because it was a vigil. And I was standing, counseling people till 7 in the morning. Students have problems. And sometimes it's a useless problem, but it's a problem. No, it doesn't matter whether you think it makes sense or not. It's useless, but it's a problem. So you want to lead, solve problems. You want to lead your younger ones, solve their problems. It's not just about money. Solve their problems. Answer their questions. Is someone learning something? Attempt to provide a solution. Second to the last, be a people builder. You want to be someone that is followable. Add value to people. This is one of the major things that made me follow Osha. Because when I was a young boy, I didn't have anything. But I knew plenty of things. I knew Bible. I was anointed. I could wave my hand now and tell people before. So people who came around, anointing attracts people. Do you understand? So, and when they come around me, why do you think people come around me and tomorrow they want to come back? Because if you're around me, something must be dropping in your life. I must be talking to you. Let me ask you a question. How did David raise his become a leader of warriors? 1 Samuel 22. Give me that verse because that's very important now. Please keep on. Let's close. 1 Samuel 22 verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house said it, they went down to him. See the first verse. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered himself to him, and he became a captain over them. So who are the first set of people that came around David? People who were in debt. Are you following me? So they came around. What was he doing to them? Impacting. Pouring into them. Pouring into them. That's why they were loyal to him. God, read, if you read 2 Samuel, these guys later became his mighty men. One day David just said, I wish somebody can just bring me water from the wells of the Philistines. The Philistines had a camp. Their soldiers camped somewhere. And David said, the exact water he wanted to drink is that well where they are camped. Three of his guys took up swords, entered the camp of the Philistines, slew everybody, drew water and brought for David. This is actually why people are angry at how loyal people are to pastors. This is why. Because pastors build from the scratch. There are some of you that can give your life for me. And it's not because I have money, but it's because some of you know, I met some of you in your junior class, senior class, you know, and I've helped build you. If you want to command loyalty, build people. If you build them, they will give their lives for you. So you have younger people, begin to build them. So how? Teach them Bible. Teach them the things you know. That's a skill you have. You can do your UX. Call younger people around and teach them. Let me just teach you a few things. They're preparing for jam. And you say, what subject is hard for you? Physics. I know a little about physics. You know what? We come in every week. I'll just be teaching you a few things. Once you are building people, you are making yourself follow up. And you're not doing it because you want to command them or you want them to follow you or manipulate them. Just build people all over the place. People are seeing it and they want to commit to you. They want to follow you. Do you know there are parents, bring them a little, there are parents who their children are not following. You know why they're not following them? They are not building their children. All they do in the house as the father is come back, bring money, pay school fees, provide food, step out again. You can't be followed. It's not money. That's why sometimes parents wonder, you don't ever call me except you need money. And I was telling the girl, why don't you call your father except you need money? And he said, what are we going to talk about? I said, what do you talk about with your father when you call him? He said, I thought you told him now. And she said from blood of sincerity, she said, Pastor, what can I tell him? I said, you can call him, tell him about the challenge you're having in school, tell him about boys disturbing you. He said, my father. He doesn't have that for that kind of thing. That's a problem. Now, that same girl will call another pastor and begin to pour out her life to the pastor. And people are angry that pastor talking of loyalty. You know why? The pastor will listen to them. The pastor will profess solution. The pastor will give them assignments. The pastor will impart them, will correct them. Are you what I'm saying? Once you are building people, people want to listen to you. So I'm not saying God start looking for people to build. God start trying to command for life. I'm saying, in your small space, make yourself a leader. What I'm saying is that you can get into your workplace now, where you are working, and in 6 months' time, you are not anything, but people are just gravitated towards you. It's a very simple thing. Amen. You can solve problems. Then you can build in, you can put yourself into people. You can build people. Maybe you are building their spiritual life. Every church you know in Nigeria that's how they started. How did deeper life start? I heard Pastor Kumi direct. He said he was a lecturer at the then, I think, University of Ibadan. Also, he was a lecturer there. And then he was an SU person, he was in Scripture Union. He used to preach for them. He said some students came to him and asked him questions, Bible questions, and he explained to them. He took them and they said, sir, you really, please, can you come next to so you can explain to us again? I'm telling you. And they came, Bible study again. Next week, he said, can we bring some of our friends? Because we tried sharing this thing with them and they liked it. They said, can they come? He said, yes. Inside his parlor. Now, he didn't know it was going to become a church. It wasn't the plan at first. I feel what I'm saying. When you are around people, any opportunity to impact people, don't miss it. Someone says, this mass is hard for me. Don't tell a younger one, please go, I don't have time. You are missing an opportunity to lead. Are you following me? A young guy around you says, you know, this thing has been happening to me. Why is he telling you? Why is he telling you? It's an opportunity to be a blessing at that point. Are you following what I'm talking about? So David raised this man. Go back to that verse 2. Men, that's 1 Samuel 22. Men who were discontented. Give me like NLT. Let's read together. I'm closing already. Then, let's read together. Then others began coming. Men who were in trouble or in debt. We were just discontented until David was the captain of about 400 men. Not 400 perfect men. 400 men in debt. 400 men who were discontented. But it was okay. So he began to work on them. When he eventually became king, there were people he went to pack. That's actually how I'm talking about. I don't know why I'm talking about church, but that's how church starts. Right? I started pouring into people without having a church or a ministry. When the Lord eventually said I should start a ministry, it was also like I was pouring into the now came. So whether you're called to be minister or not, I'm saying pour yourself into people. Build people around you. See young people are coming around you. Just say something, share something with them. Brothers, listen. Every girl, every small girl coming around you, it's not for you to be touching carelessly. That's why you lose opportunity to be the man God wants you to be. Any girl that comes out there looking at her breast. I'm not doubting that some of the girls might come to you and they have some dirty stuff in their mind. But do you know, from experience, you can pour into a young girl that came with ulterior motives and she will really change her motives and begin to learn from you. I have many stories like that. Even recently, I was talking to somebody in the office. But he said, you know, the first time I saw you, I said, this guy. I said, what did I do the first day you saw me that made you like me? He said, I told you the course I wanted to study at the university. I'm telling you real life too. Happened this week. I thought I wanted to study this course in university. And for the first time, you were excited. You encouraged me and told me how to go about it. I can't even remember this conversation held. And I was drawn to you. But the point is that the first drawing she was drawn to me was like, I like this guy. I get the point. Then eventually, times changed and she began to come to church after 2 years. From the last time I had that conversation, I didn't even see her again. After like 2 years, she appeared in church. I began to come to church. Now she was ready to grow. Eventually she began to grow. She's a very committed member in this place now. Very committed worker here. And she said, I want to study this course. I said, okay, I think this is good. What are your subject combinations? Your passes. I think you'll do better with this course. It's not what I'm talking about at all. Just that contribution. You know the first thing he tells the person, this guy is interested in my life. So you're in a relationship. You have a girl you want to marry. People should not just spend all the time doing love, I love you, I love you, I see you, I turn you around. Just try and add value to your girl's life. Try and add the small value, you know. Not just money. I asked a young man, I said, if you don't have money, without money, what else do you bring to a relationship? What else? And I can answer the question, how many things I bring to my relationship? I bring counsel. I don't become a pastor. If my wife is at a crossroads, she will ask me. And that's people that get angry. Why don't you ever ask me when you are passing through trouble? The last time they asked, what did you say? What did you do? What solution did you pray for? You are not followable. And that's why once money leaves a man's hand, he loses his esteem. Because all the people that were around him because of the money that he had. So let me say you don't have money now. What is it that you are contributing that will make people stick with you? If you are here and I've never given you physical cash in your life, let me see your hand. I've never given you money. Raise your hand. Okay. Never give you money. But you day here. So when you wanted to join this church, did you look out for pastor where you get money? Are you what I'm talking about? That was what you looked out for. He possibly came here one day, heard me preach, heard me say, this guy can preach, this guy has something. I said, come here. That's value. So why should people follow you? Why should they follow you? And it's emptiness that makes people feel they need to make money, because they know that without that money, they are not followable. So they know once they have the money, they can control all the girls. So that's why people are actually angry with pastors, actually. Because a pastor can just simply be there. The girls you are pursuing are coming towards the money guy. The girls you are pursuing are coming towards the guy, and just, you say, ah, the girls you are throwing money at are throwing their money at pastor. Value. And that's why this is not supposed to be so. That's why many ladies begin to fall in love with their pastors. Which a pastor has to be wise to handle that. Do you know why? Because if a lady is walking and hits her leg on a stone and she doesn't know what to do, she calls pastor. Pastor, I don't hit my leg. Pastor said, oh, sorry. Is there a nearby pharmacy? You can treat yourself. Whenever she runs into trouble, the first thing that comes to her mind is, let me talk to my pastor. You know, that pastor is a problem solver. Let me correct this. When you get into that relationship, guys, don't fight the place of that pastor in her life. Don't do it. Don't say, why are you always calling pastor? Why won't you call me? Don't do it. Just begin to solve problems. Are you what I'm talking about? And not completely. Just begin to do the much you can. Before you know, gradually, she will begin to channel the spiritual problems to pastor and channel every other problem to you, because you can provide solution. Are you following me this evening? It's not you get to a man's life and say, why are you always calling pastor? Any girl that is committed to a pastor, I can never marry her. Don't marry. That is a stupid statement. The question is, why? How did they get to that point? You can actually be a blessing. Are you following me, friends? You can be a blessing. Some of you remember teachers in your secondary school that just taught you and passed. But there are some that taught you that you are really following. Do you have some people in your secondary school? You remember them? They didn't just teach you, they left something in your life. There are some people that all you go to ask them is English and math question. But there are teachers in your secondary school that you go to ask life questions. Are you following what I'm saying? There are teachers in secondary school that you go to ask where you want to choose the course to study in the university. There are some you don't talk to. You know why? They are contributing to your life. So that's why I said position is not leadership. Because now you've made a teacher, even vice principal, you're not leading nobody. They just answer you because you have cane. But there is another person that may not even be using cane, but students are trooping to his office. So at least I have this question. It's value that adding. The last thing I'm going to say today is love people. Do you need love people? People follow people that love them. Yes. You know how they say it again? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If people can see that you really like me, I'm not saying love people by looking at them, telling them I love you. It's not necessary. You need to love people. And one of the ways to show people that you love them is to show that you are really interested in things that matter to them. Imagine you are here. You come, you told me about the business you want to start. After telling me, I say, it's okay now. I make no comment about it. I don't pray for you about it. I don't care about it. It gets the time you begin to feel, this man doesn't care about me. Why am I telling him things about me all the time? I get to genuinely love people. When you love people, that's how Jesus led. If you look at Jesus in the four gospels, you can literally feel that he loved these people he's dealing with. He got to Lazarus' tomb. He wept. And they said, see how he loved him. The love was palpable, so they could commit to him. They could follow him. He loved them. I know one thing about love. Love has an effect on the other person to return it. Love always reciprocates. There is a way somebody can love you to a point. You say, that's how we, now so with a child woman, Abby. We find woman that we don't know from anywhere. We begin to check her. We begin to toast her and love her and love her and love her until one day she will now say, I love you too. That's how love works. Are you following me, friends? So when you find young people, when you have your younger brother and you are just loving the person, doing the best you can, it will get to the time that your younger brother will really like you. Because you're committed to his life. And that's why if you now shout at them, they will not pick offense as they would have picked if another person shouted at them. This is actually a joke. Recently, even 2 days ago, I was in the office. I was talking to a sister in the office. When I mean a sister, I mean a graduate doing a good job. One of the big people in this church. And I was just joking. She said something. I said, knee down, sir. Bless him, make a flow. I was joking. But before I finished, knee down, she went on her knees. I said, stand up. I didn't mean it that way. Why will a grown up about to get married lady freely kneel down and say kneel down? If her parents or someone else might have said kneel down, another person on the road says kneel down, say, are you mad? Me kneel down at my age. My point is, correction can be taken when there is love. When people know that you care about them, they can take correction. There is nothing I cannot tell many of you here now. There are some of you, the way I talk to you, even your father cannot talk to you that way. The way I correct you. And that's why you want to make the next business move. You say, pastor, look at what I want to do. Because you feel a few things. You feel this guy cares about you. You feel he has solution to profit what you are doing. I get what I'm saying. And you feel he will solve a problem. So that's why you're coming. If you carry that kind of thing, people also come around you and you solve their problem. So, why did I put love people last? This is the last thing I'm going to say. I put it last because you see everything I gave you today, you can use it in a manipulative way. You can just say, if I begin to solve people's problem, I will not be manipulating them. I won't get that girl. Instead of me going to check that girl, I just begin to solve her problem and solve her problem. She will not be coming close to me. I will not take advantage of her. You can use it in a manipulative way. The bedrock of all of this is that you genuinely love people. They are doing all of this because you love them, because you want them to do better. Are you following me, friends? You are going through all this list. You know, how did I even start again? I said, be visionary and all of that. Because you genuinely love people. Right? You genuinely love people. You're caring for them. You're solving their problem. Not because you want to do whatever so they can follow you. Well, when I was doing everything I started doing as a young person, I didn't I was going to be a pastor or anything. But then I see people passing through, and I say, well, this is what I think you can do. And they do it and it works. And they come back again. Let me say this. Some of the times I proffered the solutions. Some of the things I told them to do that time, now I know it was wrong. Because I told them according to my Bible knowledge then. Now some of them, those days, I told them to remove all their earrings and their necklace. Now I won't say that. But you know the problem? They did it then. Today that I'm saying something different, they're still here doing the one I'm saying now. The reason is they knew I loved them and cared about them. So that expression I gave them was what I knew at the time. I know what I'm talking about. So once love is there, people will follow. That's why I can wake up tomorrow and tell you guys, oh, look at, I made a mistake 2 weeks ago when I was teaching. No, look at the correcting now. You guys will say, okay. Nobody's demanding perfection from you. People just want to know that you care about them. They just want to know that you can pour yourself into them. So fathers and intending fathers, your children and your wife said, I should tell you that they're not demanding perfection from you. They're not saying you're a perfect man who has not made a mistake. They just want to know that you genuinely care about them. They want to know that you want to pour yourself into them. They want to know that you want to commit to them. When they see those things, they will follow you. They will follow you. Hallelujah. Did this bless you? Let's just stand to our feet. Let's just pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. God wants to bring many of us to a place where we begin to influence people in our environment. Just pray for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Strictly 2 minutes. God wants to bring you to a point where you begin to influence your world. Not because you want a position or anything, but because He set you up to be a blessing to people. Shagaraba tengra te layanda. Ishababa reka te kroba seka lingra ba te gayanda. Pray, yes, yes, yes. Pray like that. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to be sincere. If there are places you've gotten it wrongly, maybe with integrity, or you've not done the best for people God brought around you, we can ask the Lord to forgive you. I mean, and he said that you're going to get it right from now. This is a conference for men. Men who want to become better and leaders in their generation. Men who want to become leaders in their world. Who want God to use them to change their city. You have to make up your mind from here to begin to use the little that you have and the little that you know to be a blessing to people around you. Make up your mind to use the little that you have, the little that you know, to be a blessing to people that come around you, to influence them, to change them, to affect them. The young boys, the youngest that come around you, make up your mind to use what God has put in you, the things he has taught you, to just be a blessing to them. Do you know there are people that are drug addicts that come around you? If only you can begin to guide them, to show them you can stop this. That is building men. Gradually they will come back to hear more. People that build people always have people gravitating towards them. Always. Always. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I know you are building us. You are making us better. Help us get it right. Raise us as men that will stand out in our generation. You've taught us a lot today, from health to finance to these lessons. I know many of us are living here with decisions to do better. Help us do better. In the name of Jesus. And anyone here that has any form of struggle that is just asking you to help him or her, him with, Lord, I pray that help should come to them now. In the name of Jesus. Receive the help of the Spirit where you need one. Receive the help of God where you need one. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we're getting better and better and stronger, becoming the men you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Were we blessed today? Yes, do you think this conference was worth it? Yes, amen.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.